Hello and welcome back to A World Without with me, Chris.
And me, Jack. This is the podcast where we get into the hypothetical and discuss what we think would happen if something from our everyday lives suddenly stopped existing tomorrow.
Yep, and today we're taking a look at what life might be like in a world without sleep.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
So, pretty obvious point to start with, but we're going to have so much spare time. What are you going to do with all the spare time? So much time for activities. What you're thinking you're going to do with all this?
It's a good question. Yeah, but I mean, like, what, a third of our life is asleep, if you're lucky?
Yeah.
And, well, I guess maybe you're unlucky if two-thirds of your life is asleep. That's probably not good either.
You're missing out on a bit too much, I'd say. I think you need to...
Wake up, come on.
But it's, what, 8 hours a night, on if they say on average...
Yeah, I think 8 hours is about average, so yeah, bang on third.
Yeah, 56 hours a week, 121 days a year extra of time.
Oh my goodness, mate. I mean, if you live to be, what, like, I don't know, for easy math, let's say 90, you spend 30 years asleep.
That's a lot of time asleep.
You sound like a Disney princess or something.
I do like sleep, though. It doesn't feel like wasted time for me, because it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It is quite nice, I must admit. When I was younger, I'd always be like, no, I don't want to go to sleep. I want to play and do things, but yeah. Nowadays it's like, come on, bedtime. When is that bedtime coming?
And it's weird because sleep isn't really a thing we actually really experience. What we really like is like the falling asleep bit.
Kind of, yeah.
It's not actually sleep. I mean, obviously it's great to like get refreshed and to not feel as tired anymore, but it's really like you don't really experience sleep. It's the lack of experience, really, isn't it? It's the lack of having to be around.
Yeah, the lack of being alive. Wow, how we dream for that.
It's like, oh, yay. Yeah, oh, I can't wait to not be around for a bit.
I want to not feel anything, yeah.
I think that explains why we like it as adults and not as kids. So, Lincoln, that's a pretty good summary.
Yeah, well, so your question was, what do you do with all that extra time? And I mean... I'm worried I'm going to waste it, I think.
I couldn't agree more. I would love to say I'm going to be productive, start a new hobby, learn something great, be just a better person in society, but I think I'm probably just going to sit around and watch some Netflix or something like that.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you can't do anything too loud that's going to wake up your neighbours or whatever, but hang on a minute, they're awake and all.
Exactly.
They're doing all sorts of things. You're all awake.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point. Is there like, you know, like you get like noise curfews, don't you? Like, oh, no noise after 10. Is it just all now just a free-for-all? Just do whatever you like. Be as loud as you want, whenever you want.
I think that's the case, yeah. I mean, literally, there is no concept of really like a day anymore. It's just kind of an ongoing, ever-present thing.
I think the whole night-day cycle still keeps us in a rhythm.
You think?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's clearly a marker of a new day. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to think I was doing good stuff with it, but I really do feel like I would waste it.
Do you think the general kind of work week, the amount of hours of work people do a week, would that kind of extend?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about this with the work week. I was thinking maybe we work longer days, but less days, because we're not going to all suddenly just have loads more work to do just because sleeping stopped. So we can't just work forever and loads more hours, because where's all this new work coming from?
That's, you know? True, yeah, there might not be enough to do. We've filled the quota of work, and yeah, so hey, free time it is then, I guess.
I think it depends on the job you're doing, because I guess if you work in restaurants, maybe people are going to want to eat at all sorts of hours now.
Oh, yeah.
So there is more work. But if you work in like an office job where you're basically just sitting around for 8 hours a day trying to just fill your time anyway, you're not going to suddenly have 16 hours of work to suddenly do, are you?
No, that's true. Yeah, there will be a limit. Interesting. Okay.
So I do think it depends on the job you have, whether this goes bad for you or whether this goes well for you. I think like service industry, they're having a real hard time because opening hours are probably just going to be way longer.
They're just going to be open all the time.
Yeah.
24/7. We're going to see so many more 24/7 things.
As if the service people don't have it hard enough already. Would you consider yourself like a morning person or a night person?
Oh, I'm definitely a night person, without a doubt.
Interesting. Because I'm neither. I don't get this. You're either like meant to be an early bird or a night owl. What's wrong with like an afternoon
hamster?
Ostrich. I'm trying to stick with the bird theme. You know, we've got right. Birds and owls. Yeah, afternoon ostrich. Why is that not a thing? Afternoon's easily the best time of the day. Why do I have to be either a morning person or a night person?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fine to me, I guess. So you hate both getting up in the morning and also staying up at night?
I just like being in bed. So I don't want to wake up early and I like going to bed early.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, you're right though. I think that should be a third option that we offer people now when asking that question.
Yes, afternoon ostrich. Easily the best time of day. But you're a night person, so would this be good for you now? You have even more night to explore. You don't have to be worrying about going to sleep or be worrying, oh, I'm up late again. You just can power through and not worry about it.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I would take the extra time more as an extra night time than I would sort of like, oh, an extra time at the beginning of the day. So I wouldn't be kind of having my breakfast and all of that any earlier than I normally would. I'd just be doing my normal nighttime stuff.
Yeah.
Just all night long. Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah, see, I think I'd struggle. I think I'd get bored in the night. Like, it's dark and it's horrible, you know? I don't think I'd like it.
Are you scared of the dark?
Yes. No, I'm not scared. It's just depressing, isn't it? You know, it's like, that's why I like summer.
You're depressed of the dark.
Yeah, I'm not scared of the dark. I'm depressed of the dark. Yeah. I'd have to go and live in, like, Norway or whatever in the summer, you know, where they get 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Because normally that sucks because it's really hard to sleep.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but now I guess they don't have to anyway.
Don't have to worry about it. So it's like, oh, that's the perfect place to live. Like, winter in, like, the UK, when you don't sleep, it'd be so much darkness all the time.
Gloom. Oh, constant gloom.
Oh, the gloom.
Okay, so we need sleep to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
You die if you don't sleep.
Sure.
You sleep forever, some would say.
Yes.
Apparently, the longest time someone was awake was for just over 11 days, and they didn't die. That's not how it ended. They died.
Right.
Because otherwise you'd be a bit kind of like, mate, are you still asleep? Or are you trying to do the challenge still? So he just fell asleep, I'm assuming. I don't know whether he chose to or if he couldn't help himself. But yeah, 11 days and like 4 hours or something.
Okay. That, honestly, I would have expected longer.
You think? Oh, 11 days. That's a long time.
I reckon I could do it. I've always wanted a world record. Maybe this is my one.
This is it. You could have tried to achieve it.
I could do 12.
The afternoon ostrich is doing 12. He's going all the way through.
But was he okay?
I think he was okay. I mean, I think he said he had a bit of bad sleeping for quite a while afterwards. But yeah, I think he made some, you know, a semi-full recovery. He's not. He didn't die of it.
Yeah. Was it intentional? Was he trying to stay awake, or was he just really...
Yeah, it was an experiment. There wasn't just some like noise going on outside his flat for a while, and he was like, oh, come on.
He lives above a nightclub, and he's just like, oh, this is getting, this is getting out of
shouldn't
hand.
Shouldn't have bought this place, yeah. So how do they know that you die, then, if the longest person was 11 days, and they still didn't die?
Or maybe that's why they were like, you die at 12, mate. He was like, oh, okay, I probably should get some sleep then.
They only come and tell him that nearer the end of the challenge. By the way, you do die.
You are coming pretty close to the death limit, so we should probably get you some sleep, mate. You're right.
But I'm assuming in this, a world without sleep, it's actually the fact that we don't need it anymore either. Like, we're not all just getting really tired and cranky and all die after like 11 days.
You've really got to hope so. Yeah, I was thinking this effectively is what we're saying is you're getting rid of tiredness. Like, this is a world without tiredness, really. Because otherwise, if we're just perpetually tired forever, that's a real dark time. That's horrible. You could just never alleviate your tiredness. Awful.
That is awful, isn't it? It's a nightmare.
I feel like the only way this can really work is if we also get rid of tiredness.
Yeah, I would say that too. So that's good then. So that's fine. So firstly, his record looks like absolute trash now because, you know, we're all beating that after a little while.
After 11 days, he's got 11 days in Canada of keeping that record and then it's over.
Yeah.
But then it's like a simultaneous record between everyone. Then it just becomes whoever lives the longest, I guess.
I guess it was whoever woke up first before this whole no sleep thing kicked in. And then they're the one that will... Well, yeah, then when they die.
Yeah.
Hmm. But then technically they're still not asleep.
Yeah, semantics, I guess. I feel like it's a form of sleep.
I would say so. But then, hey, unconsciousness isn't sleep, apparently. I checked it out.
Oh, okay.
So we could, if we need rest still, if we are kind of tired and needing rest, we could all just go unconscious.
So you're sure? Because I actually couldn't find a definitive answer. People seem to say it was very complicated. They started using all sciencey words and I kind of lost interest. But I was trying to find this out. Like, is being unconscious the same as being asleep? Because if we can't have unconsciousness, that opens up a whole new can of worms.
Like what, surgery?
Yes, surgery being the big one, I think. Like, imagine not being able to get knocked out for surgery. That'd be horrible.
Boxers.
Exactly. It'd be a really, like, that'd be a horrible slog. He's been repeatedly punched in the head over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Just, he's not going down.
There's never a KO. But no, apparently what I found said that unconsciousness isn't sleep. So if we need the rest, big old mallet by the side of the bed, just clonk yourself out.
That has to become a big service now, right? You go to, because you have to go to a place to just experience a little bit of unconsciousness. They intentionally put you into like an induced coma or whatever for a bit, because I think people would want that. Because imagine going your whole life without a break ever.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Like never having that like little time where you just get to shut off and not be around for a bit anymore. I feel like I'm portraying like a really, like I just don't want to be here, but I've just said the rest is really important. Like just imagine from the moment you wake up to the moment you die, never having a moment where you just get to check out for a bit.
You're just on the whole time. Yeah, because going to bed at night totally gives you that kind of bookmark almost, of like a refresher of,
yeah,
it's a new day. Like it feels like nothing, but equally it feels like a long time since yesterday. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
you need that kind of thing to break everything up a bit.
I think it's important in a lot of things. Like, you know, if you're in like a really bad mood sometimes all you need is just a nice sleep to reset everything, you know? But if you don't have that, you just have to kind of like power through it. Same as like after an argument, you know? They always say don't go to sleep on an argument. I don't understand that at all. Always go to sleep on an argument. But no, not always. I'm not saying you should just start arguments every time you're just about to go to sleep.
Yeah, you just desperately, it's like your lullaby. It's just
start texting everyone and just like horrible things just before you go to sleep. No, but just like if you're having an argument with someone, I think the best thing you can do is just, look, go to sleep. If you still feel angry in the morning, well, then you can talk about it. But I'd say like 99% of the time, after you wake up in the morning, you're over it. You don't care. It's a new day. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
But now we don't have that reset.
So I think we need, you're exactly right. We need some special place you can go and you're like, hello, I'd like to book a reset, please. And they will take you, inject you with something. I don't know how it works. Maybe that's better than a mallet.
Like anesthetic effectively puts you to sleep, right? General anesthetic. But one thing that's weird about that is we don't know how that works. And I don't mean we don't know. Obviously we don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know how this microphone in front of me works, really. I don't have any concept of anything around me how it works. I mean, like, no one really actually knows how or why general anesthetic works. We were just kind of messing around with loads of drugs for ages, and then we eventually found one that didn't kill people and people woke up from.
And again, not we were messing around with loads of drugs once.
Not we. The collective we. The human we.
Human we. I'm glad we got onto that.
But does that worry you a little bit? Like when you go to set, no idea how this works, mate, but it does seem to, it's done the tricks for everyone else, so let's hope it does it for you as well.
If I ask a doctor how it works and their response is a shrug,
yeah,
then yeah, I'm not most confident in it, but...
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Oh, we're just going to, like, cut into it and stuff. Don't worry, it won't hurt. We're just going to give you this drug. Okay, how does that work? Oh, no idea, mate, but it seems to do the trick.
It's done it so far for the other ones, yeah.
Yeah, terrifying. I'm sorry. But so you think that does work? We can still have surgery, we can still go to places, get some general anaesthetic.
I mean, yeah, from my very limited research, yes, we will still be able to do those.
What's a sleeping pill then? Because that does put us to sleep. That's not knocking us out. That is actual sleep.
No, that's true, because that would be dangerous. Yeah.
All right, okay.
Although, I mean, you have too much of them and you'd still kind of get somewhat like deep sleep uncontrollably, right? Like,
I assume so.
You see in movies and that, they sort of sneak some like sleeping pills into someone's coffee or whatever, and then, or not coffee, that's a bad, don't put it in the coffee, put it in a hot chocolate.
Yeah, that's a wild thing to put it in. You're really messing with someone's mind if you're putting sleeping pills in caffeine. It's just, yeah. Well, let's see what happens, like, which one wins.
You're like, I slipped in 5 sleeping pills earlier, I don't know what's happened. What'd you put it in? I put it in his double espresso. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, put it in his 5-hour energy. I'm not sure what seems to be the issue. What about coffee, though? Like, I don't like coffee, so maybe I'm coming at this the wrong way. But for me, it feels like a lot of the reason people drink coffee is to wake up. I know people would, like, enjoy coffee as well for some unknown reason. But it's going to take a hit to it a bit. There's got to be some amount of people whose primary reason for drinking coffee is the caffeine.
Yeah, it's the sort of wake-up part.
But if we're not got tiredness anymore, if we're not dealing with that, that's going to take a big hit.
Would it, or is it already too established that people are kind of used to it? But I guess they're new people.
Yeah.
Kids, as they grow up, and they would have started drinking coffee, and maybe they're now not. Maybe, yeah, hot chocolate.
Because there's such a culture around coffee shops and stuff, and I do think that would probably continue a bit. But you've got to imagine it takes a hit. Same as, like, energy drinks, like the energy drink thing.
They kind of have to re-spin it more as just, like, you get extra, a bit of extra kind of pep. You're not tired. It's not going to stop you being tired, but it will give you extra on top of what you already have. It's doping.
But does caffeine do anything anymore? If we don't have tiredness, right, what is the caffeine affecting? Is it making us more active? Because otherwise, where's the scale, you know?
I mean, I'm giving you the old doctor shrug right now. I don't
sure,
know.
Sure, yeah.
So if we're not asleep anymore, does that mean we're also not having dreams?
Probably, yeah. I mean, when else are you having them?
Daydreaming. Not exactly the same, of course, but
sure,
you could maybe still do it. But no, you're not going to be having the kind of the same vivid dreams that you would have at night. And then nightmares too. Like, I don't like a nightmare. No thanks. I hate my nightmares.
I don't think many people like nightmares. I don't think many people are going to sleep being like, oh yeah, I can't wait for this nightmare.
I don't know. I think people that like horror movies and stuff like that, surely, why wouldn't they like to be in their own horror film at night, you know?
It's too immersive, I'd say. A bit too full on, you know, because they feel real while you're in them. You know?
People do like VR as well, horror games in VR. And so people want it. People are crazy, man. People like that.
Maybe you're right. I don't really dream, so this wouldn't be a big... I don't really have much perspective on it. I mean, I probably do dream, but they say everyone dreams like 5 times a night or whatever. I don't remember my dreams to any... Right. Which is basically the same thing. I'm sorry. Like, if it's a thing that only goes on in my head, that only I can know about it, and I don't remember it or experience it, it basically didn't happen, did it?
I think I agree with you there, yeah. It's a bit of a push, a bit of a stretch to try and make it sound otherwise, but... Yeah, so that also means the main thing I hate more than a nightmare is that thing you get where it, like, you suddenly just jolt awake, like you've fallen off something, or...
Yeah, I do get that sometimes.
Oh, I hate that. And it's the worst because it's normally when you're quite tired as well, and you're like, ah, you're all in bed, you're all lovely and warm and snuggly, and then all of a sudden your body just basically freaks out, and now you're sweating, you're wide awake... And you're a bit angry.
I feel like that always seems to happen to me in, like, inconvenient places. Like, when I've accidentally, like, had a nap in, like, a public space or like, you know, like, you dozed off or something. It only ever seems to happen in embarrassing places, you know. Like, you'll have, like, fallen asleep, just, like, you know, your family are around or whatever. It's, like, an afternoon. You're all just, like, I've just dozed off. And then, like, never happens when I'm just in bed by myself. It's always just, like, this embarrassing jolt awake.
You need to stop falling asleep around people, mate.
I do. Like, I just love sleeping.
Do you want... fake moustaches drawn on your face, Jack, and worse, no. Because that's how you get fake moustaches and worse drawn on your face.
Yeah. They're the worst type of people who do that. Don't touch me while I'm asleep, you freak.
Yeah, that should be pretty, like, standard stuff. Like, yeah. If you're asleep, don't touch someone.
I'm of the general rule, I don't hang around with those sort of people.
That does mean, though, Freddy Krueger, I mean, he's... What's he going to do now? He can only get you in your nightmares.
Retire, I guess. Why is he so obsessed with, like, just take a day off, mate. Look, you've been doing it for years at this point.
That's true.
He's got to be near retirement. I reckon he can't wait. finally, don't have to torment all these teenagers. I just get to relax on a beach somewhere, you know?
Do Do you think, I'm assuming in like one of the late last Freddy Krueger movies, they managed to kill him or something at the end, and they're like, you know, oh, he was one day left to retirement. Kind of thing.
There should be an alternate one, which is it's just his job, and he's just like counting down the days to retirement. He's like, oh, I've only got one day left. This will be nice. Just have to do one more little scary thing in someone's dreams, and then we'll be good.
His wife is like, go, Freddy, it'll be okay. One more day, Freddy. And then, you know, we can retire.
She's like packing the bags for their holiday. And then she's just like waiting at the airport. She's like, Freddy, where are you?
Sad story,
would you take it from that point of view?
It is, yeah. Mm. Nice dramatic romance film there.
Yeah. I mean, ignoring the fact that he goes on killing people, but you know, ignoring that part.
Well, yeah, it's a job, you know, it's.
Someone's got to do it. Do they? I don't know.
So now that we're not kind of sleeping pretty much every night anymore, what do we need our bedroom for? Is it even going to be called do we need a bed? Do we need a bedroom? Can it just be a wardrobe room instead now or something?
100% I want my bed. Don't take my bed away from me. I'm sorry. I love just chilling out of my bed. Like, it's great for sleeping, sure. It's obviously great for other activities, but we'll skip over that. But yeah, just to chill. My favourite place to just hang out, chill out, like watch some TV, relax, is 100% my bed. I'm not getting rid of my bed for nobody.
So then why should we maybe have beds more like in the living room and stuff as well?
Yeah, it does give off an overly lazy vibe, I think, a bed in the living room.
Especially when guests come over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a bit of a weird communal place to just all hang out is on my bed, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
Leave that for its own room. But I do get what you're saying. It feels like maybe this is a difference because you have a whole house or you have plenty of rooms where you can hang out. I'm used to, like, you know, small flats or houses in rooms or that sort of thing. So my bedroom
in houses, I'll just point out there, is what you mean to say, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, I've got a little house inside a room.
A dollhouse. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I live in a giant dollhouse. Yes. Rooms in houses. So, like, that tends to be my whole experience. So, like, the bed is one of the few places you can, like, properly hang out. The sofas just aren't as comfortable, though. Like, I'd much prefer to be hanging out on a bed. No?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I do agree in that respect. Okay, all right, we'll keep the beds. We'll keep the beds then.
100%. Yeah. I bet maybe some people will get rid of them, though, because I do think there are some people who probably only use their bedroom for sleeping, really.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You should celebrate yourself every day. But some days, you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
They just go there, sleep, get up, leave, use the rest of their house.
And that's it, yeah. And I mean, they're big. They take up a lot of room.
They do. It's the only room where, well, unless you have a mansion, but where you've got lots of them. Like, you'd have a 4-bed house. You don't have like a 5-kitchen house, do you?
Yeah, that's it. They literally describe houses by their bedrooms, not a 5-kitchen house.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds great.
I guess any house could be a 5-kitchen house if you dream hard enough, you know? I mean, you can turn every room into a kitchen if you feel like it.
That's true. Hey, you can't be dreaming anymore either. That's
true. Sorry, my bad. Maybe we do move away from that slightly. I still think people would want their own rooms, though. You know, it's just a nice personal space where you can get away from everyone else, have your own time and just relax. I still think bedrooms are important outside of sleep.
I agree. Although, yeah, I do mainly spend the time in my bedroom sleeping. And that was my other point, that it's just, other than that, it's a wardrobe, basically. It's just a big old walk-in wardrobe.
Yeah.
And I guess leading on from that, I would say, how does this affect, like, hotels? Like, their primary thing is for people to go there to go to sleep, right?
Fantastic point. Yeah, I actually hadn't thought about that.
If you're on a business trip for 2 days, I mean, do you need a hotel room still? I mean, maybe, like we said, maybe you need that kind of personal place just to kind of sit there and look at the wall for a while and, like, to put your clothes or whatever. But, people, you know, you're not going to need to necessarily get a hotel. You just kind of rove the streets all night like some kind of feral cat.
Yeah, I agree. I think there definitely is an aspect, like, you know, when you go to more your luxury hotels, the whole point is you're just hanging out there. You know, you've got a balcony and you've got your pool and you can hang out there. So there's definitely still a market for that kind of hotel. But I definitely think, you know, your classic business person on a business trip who just needs somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
That does become a lot less needed. I still think people will want that place to go back and relax and unwind, maybe. But maybe you can get away with slightly smaller rooms, or maybe there becomes a bigger thing for, like, basically fancy lockers, because you need somewhere to store your stuff, you know, if you're going to be
a fancy locker. Well, how is it fancy? What, it's like padded or something?
Well, it's just bigger. Like, it's not just a locker where you put your, it's a walk-in locker, you know, like, right. It's not, right, not as big as a hotel room, and obviously you're still going to want a shower and all those sort of things, but it's just like, maybe we could just get away with slightly smaller rooms, because you don't need, a chair and a TV and a shower and somewhere to put your clothes. You don't need the whole, as much as I'm saying, I would still want a bed, because I think lying down is the most comfortable position to be in at all times. If I could always be lying down, I would.
Really? What, just like going around town lying down? If there was a special contraption that allowed you to do that, that's how you would choose to get around?
No, I do love walking, actually. You know what, I was this is a bit off topic, but I was thinking about this the other day. I love walking and I love lying down. Absolutely hate standing. Just the in between those two things. I could walk for ages. I love walking, but if you ask me to stand in one spot for ages, I cannot do it. I have to be like leaning on something or moving. I can't just stand for very long. I hate it.
Would you say you can't stand it?
I absolutely cannot stand it, literally, yeah. And like, if I'm sitting down, I love to have my feet up. I'm a very relaxed person.
You sound like some sort of like throw that you just like put over, like a, like draped over anything that you walk into.
Yeah, I do. I always like immediately have the urge to recline or like sit, lay down wherever I am. I feel like that's why I don't hate aeroplanes. Like, just having to be in that upright position for that long, horrible.
It would make more sense to just have like fully like beds, like bunk beds for everyone to go into in a plane, like lying down, or like torpedo people, you know?
Yeah. I guess that's kind of what first class, the first class thing, the whole point is you can basically get horizontal. You're basically spending hundreds of pounds to be able to be horizontal. It's really, yeah, what first class is. That's what it should be called. Horizontal class.
Horizontal. And then as you progress, you just, yeah, get more and
more
vertical.
You've got the cheap ones where you actually stand up fully, right? You've got the medium ones where you get to sit down. You've got the slightly, like, you know, what they call like premium economy, where you get to sit down slightly reclined, and then you just, ooh, get full on horizontal. That's basically what the class should
as
be.
As flat as you could go. I like, yeah, that. I think we should incorporate that now. It's very descriptive of the of how it works.
Because they do have those like sleeper buses. I mean, I think you probably get them everywhere, but they're big in Asia a lot, where you literally do just get like a bed on a bus and you just get to lie down. They're great. I absolutely love them.
Oh, bed on a bus.
Bed on a bus. Yes, please.
Okay, let me say this to you then. Camping. I mean, that's totally ruined now, right? What's the point in like just going in a tent for a while and then like sitting there or whatever, being a bit uncomfortable? And then if you're not going to sleep, what's the point?
You're basically describing my current feelings about camping as it is. What's the point? I don't get it. You know? I love nature, love being outside, but camping, don't understand it. Let's go sit in a field for a bit and be really uncomfortable. Okay, No, thank you.
Okay, well, I think generally then that camping will die out a little bit. Or it's sort of more like day camping.
Yeah, because your camping people love it. They just love being uncomfortable and cold and wet. And I don't know. I'm sure that's not how they would describe it. But they love that whole thing. And I feel like the sleeping isn't the important part, you know? If anything, that's kind of the whole thing, that they're not bothered about sleeping. They're fine to be as uncomfortable as they want in a sleeping bag on an inflatable mat for some obscure reason. So I think, if anything, they'll love it. They'll be like, well, we didn't want to sleep anyway.
That's true, then. So that you're going camping and you're getting more camping out of it. You're getting those 8 extra hours now.
Because, I you know, camping's a great means to an end. If you're going on a multi-day hike or if you're at a festival, I get it for that. But people who just go camping for the sake of that being the activity.
A leisure, yeah. A leisure camping might kind of wear off a bit, but like rest camping on a hike or whatever, that doesn't need to happen anymore. You just keep going.
Keep going. Makes for a lighter bag. You don't need to carry a tent with you. It's great.
Yeah, no sleeping bag, no tent.
Get a high-powered torch, hike through the night. Lovely.
The old roosters, cock-a-doodle-doing in the morning. It's interesting why they do it. Do you know why they do cock-a-doodle-do?
Terrified of the sun.
That would actually make more sense. They basically do it to kind of try and like mark their territory to other... They're basically saying like, everyone, listen up. Oi, all these worms around here, they're mine, all right? Don't even be coming in here with other, like, trying to steal my worms or anything, which I think is dumb. I think do it stealthy, right? Like, don't be telling other people.
I was thinking the exact same thing, yeah. How do they even know the worms are there unless you started making a racket about it? Keep quiet, mate.
I mean, as a worm, I'm evolving to run away from the cockadoodle. What are they doing? What a terrible spy or sleuth these roosters are.
I think you've got to be really confident in your ability to fight off other roosters. If you're just like, ah, worms here, everyone. Worms here. They're mine only. Because if I was, I wouldn't be screaming about it. I'd be like, oh, my worms. I'd be keeping well quiet about that. I wouldn't be screaming about it to the neighbourhood.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're idiots anyway. But, I mean, I'm not entirely sure whether... I don't think they do it when they wake up necessarily. I don't think they're sort of like, waking up, oh, cock-a-doodle. Like, it just comes out. I think they are planning to do it when they're about to go for a hunt. So I'm assuming that will just keep happening.
Is it the worms that actually are waking up at the day? And they're like, oh, look, worms. It's just a coincidence.
Maybe.
But they always come out at the morning.
They're going about their business. But I mean, now, again, everything's not going to bed at all. So all the animals, nothing's nocturnal anymore.
Well, okay, you say this, but what about, like, because there are animals that don't properly sleep, like dolphins, right?
They don't sleep?
Well, depends how you define sleep. They, because obviously they have to constantly swim, they can't stop moving, right? So they like shut off half of their brain at a time, apparently, or something. I'm no zoologist. Maybe this is wrong.
I do that.
you just switch off half your brain at a time.
Yeah,
just
doing something.
Do we develop that ability instead? Because like we said, the tiredness goes away. But what if it didn't? But instead, we don't have to sleep properly, but we just develop the ability to like do what dolphins do and just shut half our brain off at a time. We sort of just go zombie mode. That'd be weird, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you're offering me the chance to basically become a zombie dolphin, I think I'm up for that.
I don't think you become a dolphin per se. I don't think you suddenly get the ability to breathe underwater.
Can I jump out the water? Can I like dive? Because that would be cool as well. Like
you can make the sound. They'll give you that.
Okay, good, nice. Thank you.
Because I was going to say sleepwalking isn't really an issue anymore, but maybe it's the biggest issue it's ever been. Maybe we're always just sleepwalking. Everyone's just on the sort of autopilot doing the menial tasks, you know, just washing up. Doing your ironing, half asleep, you know?
We've all got a bit of drool coming down the side of our mouth because we're all kind of like, ugh. So, and also then if it's half the brain, each half of our brain does different things too, right? So like half the time we're kind of like really good at being like creative and coming up with ideas and stuff. And I forget what the other half does. So food for thought.
Boring stuff, your taxes.
that's
you got your
what
tax half
is.
And you got your painting half. That's how it goes. Right,
right.
You got,
taxing and painting, yeah.
So maybe it's just that, like, well, half, what, two-thirds of the time, you get to pick, I guess, which one you want to be. Do you want to be the guy doing your taxes two-thirds of the time and being creative the other third? Or do you want to be creative two-thirds of the time and do your taxes a third of the time? I think I know what I'd pick.
I know what I'll pick, too. I don't even think we have to say.
Nah. So, yeah, maybe we just, you just get to, you separate all your tasks into, you know, which one you want to do when you're half your brain's on and which one you want to do when the other half's on. We just live like that.
Do we have to sort of kind of tell other people? Like, if you're just walking around and you meet someone, oh, hello, nice to meet you. Do you instantly know which half of the brain they're using? Or are we able to, like, switch on the fly depending on the situation?
You have to just, like, apologize. Oh, sorry, that was left Jack. Sorry about him. He's a nightmare. Hate left Jack.
Oh, left Jack is such a jerk.
Oh, God, he's awful. Sorry, I didn't mean to send you that message when I was left Jack, but now I'm right Jack again, we're all good. Yeah, maybe it's a bit of that. Maybe we do just go around with a little side on us that we turn around with which version of us we are.
We're like an open and closed side around our neck that we flip around to be like, left or right, which one are we
don't,
today?
Don't talk to me right now, I'm left Jack. He doesn't want he doesn't want you talking to him.
Hey, you mentioned sleepwalking, and that is a genuine fear I have of doing. I the thought of me sleepwalking terrifies me to my core.
Have you ever? To your knowledge?
Well, I mean, to my knowledge, no. But sometimes things have moved around the house a bit, maybe. Oh. I'm not sure. I can't. I'm going to need a camera or something.
Ghosts?
It's either ghosts or just my bad memory.
I think I know which one I'm going to go with.
Maybe. Ghosts.
Because, yeah, I've also, to my knowledge at least, never sleptwalked. But people could do some crazy stuff. People have, like, killed people.
Yeah, this is why I'm so terrified.
And, like, jumped out of windows and...
I know, like, it sounds so scary. Like, a lot of the time you see people and they're just kind of maybe shuffling in, like, next to their bed in the corner of the room or whatever. But the fact that you could almost do anything, like, I don't know, it really scares me. And I do sleep talk.
Oh, do you?
I sleep talk the talk, but I don't sleep walk the walk.
Sure.
So I feel like I'm maybe...
You're halfway there.
You know, I'm one step away. I'm halfway there. I'm already chatting.
Yeah.
So why not just get up and do whatever?
Maybe you just need to... Well, I guess we don't need to worry about it now.
No, problem solved, done.
Now it's not a big concern. So that's one of your fears alleviated, at least, which is nice.
It's always good to get them, like, ticked off, innit? Get them crossed off the list nice and early on in life.
What about getting drunk?
What, are you offering to me?
Yeah.
We're doing a podcast at the minute.
Quit the podcast. Should we just go get drunk? No, because obviously, you know, you're drinking after a night out. One of the best things about it is when you come home after a night out and you just get to, like, fall asleep and sort of that's tomorrow's problem. You get to sort of recover a bit. Obviously, the hangover comes in if you've been drinking a lot next morning. But imagine just you come in after a night out and you just have to stay up.
You have to ride it out, literally, like...
Because I've had that happen before, you know, when you start and you can feel the hangover sort of slowly build. That's such a horrible feeling. But it'd be that all the time.
I think it's gonna put people off.
It 100% surely is. If you have to, after being absolutely wasted, you have to just sit through there and painfully sober up slowly. No, thank you. I think that really put people off. So maybe it does affect our drinking culture a bit.
Possibly. I mean, I think expanding that even more, like... Doing almost anything, like if you're going to do a big hike or something, you're going to have that recovery time spread out longer after. Like you're just going to have to put up with being all achy and whatever for longer.
Maybe that's a big part of going out or that sort of thing. Like, you know, we're talking before about the just getting an injection of something that makes you unconscious for a bit. Maybe that's the way it goes after a night out. You're like, good night, I'm going to take my little pill to knock me unconscious for 8 hours and I'll wake up in the morning.
So that would be a sort of not a hangover. It would almost be the hangover cure.
Yeah.
Or a hangover pill. I can't tell which way round it would make sense.
A little chaser, I guess, at the end of the night. At the end of the night, we all do our last shot of the night, which is puts us unconscious. So you were saying unconsciousness is not the same as sleep. So we still can, like, pass out from drinking.
I think so, yeah.
Because maybe it goes the other way then. Maybe we get all really into drinking because the only way to enjoy a night out is to get so drunk that you pass out.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So it's one or the other.
Depending on the type of person you are, I think it goes one way or the other. You're either going to just be like, oh, I can't hack the whole having to sit through waiting for the hangover to come. I'm just going to stop drinking. Or you're going to be like, well, if we're doing this...
We're doing this.
We're doing this, you know? Like, we are going till we drop. So maybe that.
Once upon a time, Jack, I fell asleep with my hand sort of up the wall next to me. There was a wall beside me. I was fiddling with something on the wall. There was a bit of blue tack on it or something. I was like, oh, a bit of blue tack. Oh, fiddle, fiddle, fiddle. Suddenly, I felt like I just blinked, and then it was suddenly daytime, and my arm was still up the wall. And I think I died a little bit that day because that was one of the most painful things I've ever endured.
Oh, really? So you suddenly woke up like, oh my God, my arm, ow.
It was like I couldn't move it. I couldn't bend it. It was the most dead, I guess my arm had fallen asleep as well. So the same as me, like it was horrible and I hated it.
I definitely get that a lot where like I fall asleep on a limb so badly to the point where like there's those couple of seconds you'd be like, I think it's dead forever.
Yeah.
I think I might have actually like, you know, properly cut this one off and it's like, you like pick it up and it falls.
Yeah,
oh,
I've done it this time.
I'm not sure he's coming back this time. I'm not sure he's going to do it. But I have also had the thing you talked about, but without the dead arm bit, where I can really distinctly remember, because it's only ever happened to me once. It was when I was really young, and there was some building work going on in my room, so I was standing in my brother's room, and I literally got ready to go to sleep, and then I blinked, and it was the morning, and it was so weird, but I've always wanted to experience it again, and I never have. It was great.
It's almost strange that isn't how we experience sleep as a general rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Like if our brain's going unconscious, it must be sort of slightly ticking over in the background there, just to kind of be like counting the minutes down, because it definitely feels like it's been longer.
Yeah, that must have something to do with like the sort of the stages of sleep, but also like the fact that we dream and stuff. There's brain activity going on, so I think our brain knows it's been awake. Our brain's been like, we wake up, we're like, oh, that was lovely, I didn't have to do anything. Your brain's like, oh, you did have to. I've been keeping the running while you've been half asleep. I've been keeping the heart pumping. I've been, you know, making sure we're not getting murdered. Been having my senses on guard in case a loud noise happens or something. You were just out of it. Welcome back, mate.
This is true. So then what happens in that situation where you kind of blink and it's day?
They all just took a day off.
And even the brain was like, I've had it. Okay.
he just got the wrong memories. Oh, we're all off, are we? All right, see you later, mate. And then wakes up in the morning. He's like, where were you guys? Like, I thought we were done.
And you'd like to experience that more often, would you?
Yeah, I would like to once a month. I think it's super fun. There would be an unsatisfying element of it.
Isn't it that feeling of kind of like, oh, it doesn't feel like the next day anymore. You've sort of not had that like break from everything that you so clearly want. So, I mean, it's impressive. It feels like you've like teleported or time traveled or something. So there is that sort of sense of fun. But I think it'd get old very quickly if
you maybe not once a year. But also, I don't know when it's going to happen because it'd be such a fun surprise. You're like, oh yeah, it was the one.
I had it. I had my blink sleep last night. Everyone,
it'd be so excited to wake up. And, oh yeah, did it. I think that'd be fun. But okay, so I've never had like anaesthetic. I've never been put under. Have you?
Yes, I have. It was quite a while ago though, and I don't remember much of it. Obviously, as the point goes.
Okay, well that does feel similar to sleep then. So it feels like time has passed.
It felt like even longer.
Oh, okay.
Like you woke up and you were like, hang on a minute, has it been like 5 days? And they're like, no, you've been asleep for 20 minutes. Like it feels lengthy. It's the opposite of the blink
Interesting.
Thing.
Interesting. Because I wonder if we could induce that thing that happens, the phantom sleep. Because I feel like that's got to be a known phenomenon. Like for us to have both had it once, it must be a known thing. There's surely got to be an explanation for what's going on there.
Yeah, and maybe there is ways to, a bit like lucid dreaming, there's ways to kind of try and encourage that to happen, perhaps. But I guess for me, the first stage of it is being able to fall asleep very, very quickly, which I'm also very bad at. I can't really just be like, I'm going to sleep now, close my eyes, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm asleep. Like, I cannot. It's always lying there for what feels like far too long, and then all of a sudden I'm waking up.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think I could do even step one of getting to sleep, let alone then skipping through the night really quickly and waking up and also feeling sort of instantly refreshed or like whatever you are when you have that blink sleep. Like you just feel the same as you did before you went to sleep. That was the weirdest feeling for me of how kind of untired I was on either side of the supposed sleep. I mean, we shouldn't discount aliens at this point because... Maybe I was abducted. Maybe that was what happened.
That is a point, actually. I can't confidently say I wasn't either. Yeah, I don't know, because that is an interesting thing about sleep. Like, maybe you don't, but personally for me, you never are aware of the moment you're falling to sleep, are you? You're not like, oh, here we go. You know, it's almost like you don't remember the little run-up to sleep, at least for me.
A little bit. There's sometimes if I've ever sort of fallen asleep in, like, the cinema especially, but when I'm watching a film... And sometimes I'll kind of be like, oh, hang on, nearly went then.
Yes.
But I feel like maybe I probably was asleep for 2 or 3 minutes before that, because I don't actually remember what was going on in the film necessarily. You know, there's a new scene or something on now, and I'm like, oh, I actually didn't see how they got there. Whoops.
I find that one of the most annoying things about sleep, actually. Like, because that can happen where you're, like, trying so hard not to fall asleep, and then you can feel it happening. And then you are like, oh, no, he's going, no, stop it. But that never, ever, to me, happens when I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, never.
I'm never just like, oh, yeah, here we go, and then just get to embrace it. Because the moment I feel like I clock that in my head, well, then I'll be like, oh, no, I'm awake now. Why can he do it then? But suddenly when I don't want to fall asleep, when I'm in the cinema or whatever, or worse, driving, you're suddenly just don't do it now, mate. He's like, no, I'm doing it now. He's like, no, not now. When I want you to do it, but not now, mate. Come on.
I think it's safe to say that our brains are horrible idiot jerk faces.
Wish we could collaborate a little more, you know what I mean?
Come on, work with me, brain. Work with me.
We're all on the same page here. We all want the same thing. So maybe just a little bit more collaboration would be lovely. Thank you.
You've obviously had a lot more experience of this than I have, but I got to experience it a little bit. Not that I'm proud of, but jet lag. I mean, is jet lag... Jet lag isn't necessarily about lack of sleep. It is just about the time changing of when you travel. But I definitely feel like sleep is a major component to why you feel jet lag and kind of the cure for jet lag as well, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, because it's that thing of your body's just like, okay, sleep time. You're like, no, mate, it's middle of the day. You're like, no, but I've got here on my calendar we're due some sleep right now, and you're like, nope, sorry about that, we've had a little change of the schedule. Won't be for another 8 hours. You're like, I don't care. I've already got my guys ready to go, so we're gonna go now. And you're just no, please don't. So it's basically no collaboration between the brain. Because easily, I will just say for anyone out there, if you're dealing with jet lag, the cure is do not sleep until you're meant to be sleeping on that time zone.
Stay awake as long as you can until the right time to go to bed.
You might have to do a 36-hour day or whatever, but just power through, and then it pretty much always cures it. That's why the worst one is when you get there and you have to sleep straight away, but you're not actually tired. Like you've jumped forward and now it's nighttime.
But it's actually 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. That's why, at least for me, I struggle with that one the most, because it's harder to force yourself to sleep, I think, than to force yourself to stay awake.
That's when you need to be able to trigger the blink sleep. That would be fantastic.
That would be the dream. That would be perfect.
Yeah, they get your hotel, blink sleep, hello, I'm ready to go. Let's party.
Do you think there is anyone who has... Do you know people learn to lucid dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which are, firstly, annoying for those people who spent all that time learning that, and that's not a thing anymore.
Suckers.
Waste of time.
Get a real hobby.
Yeah. I'm just jealous of them. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, me too. I love it, so...
But yeah, maybe there is someone out there who's trained themselves to blink sleep. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. And so, rewinding a little bit here. So, is jet lag a thing now that we're in a world without sleep? Does it still happen, or just not to the extent that it was happening before?
I think the main thing you get from it is the tiredness and the disorientation of, like, you wanting to fall asleep. Which, as we said, if tiredness is gone, I think we're fine, we're good. But I still think maybe, like, the eating thing would be weird. Like, you'd be... Because that's another thing you get a lot of the time, is you're hungry at weird times. Because obviously your body's like, dinner time. And you're like, nope, not
yet.
Yeah,
yeah. Or it's like, it's actually breakfast time, but you're tucking into a main meal here. You want to get eaten.
Yeah, so I think that would still be a problem. But I think the fundamental one is the tiredness, which I think that's dealt with. So... Maybe that's something that we don't have to consider anymore.
We rename it something tummy lag or something like that.
Yeah. Although, speaking of flying long distances, I do think without sleep that makes it harder. Sleeping on planes is difficult already, and I do struggle with it. But it's one of the only real ways to deal with like a 12-hour flight or something, is to at least get a few hours of sleep to help pass the time. Otherwise, that's just such a long time, as you said, sitting in an uncomfortable position.
I mean, unless you're in horizontal class.
Obviously. So even more reason to have horizontal class. Not that we're sleeping here, but just be way more comfortable, which feels counterintuitive to make more horizontal, like that to become a bigger thing. Now we're not even sleeping, but I think it's even more important to be comfortable if you're going to be awake for longer.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And I guess sort of going then to airports and things, we're talking about planes for the most part here, but I guess any long travel... We'll have this, trains that go super fast and stuff, and maybe even boats that go around the world, although they're much slower, so I guess it isn't as impactful, the time change. But airports are kind of places that basically never sleep. They're a world without sleep already, for the most part. They kind of somewhat close down a little bit, but there's always stuff going on. You can usually always buy a beer at any time of day, and you can get, you know, whatever you need. So maybe the world just becomes more like a big airport.
Yeah, maybe. I think it does depend on the airport, because I got stranded in an airport before, and I did have to sleep there overnight, and it did definitely just, like, there was no one around it was about 3 hours. There was, like, just a dead zone where there was literally just no one on. But they still kept the lights on, there was music playing and stuff, so that's weird.
Nice of them, you know.
That was not nice of them. I was trying to sleep. I was can we get the lights off here, anyone, please? I'm trying to have a little 3 hour sleep before my flight, thank you.
Sorry, I guess when you say that, I just imagine them kind of like turning like the heating off and everything, like just just complete shutdown, and you just sat there like in the room. Yeah. They just close you in the airport, basically. Yeah.
But I think, especially a big airport, like your Heathrow, so yeah, I'm pretty sure they never shut down. Obviously, there's busier times and whatever, but yeah. Similar. I guess similar to like casinos, they're like, because they don't have any windows intentionally, right? They like pump oxygen in, and they have like blue ceilings and...
Yeah, no clocks either as well, yeah.
So it'd be just, if the world would be our casino...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But how are we feeling about a world without sleep? Good? Bad?
All I know is this whole podcast has tired me out.
Yes. But I do think it would be nice to not be tired anymore.
It would. I feel like sleep is generally a negative feeling that we have. So yeah, getting rid of it, why not? If there's no downsides to it, yes, please.
See, I do disagree. I generally, as I've mentioned many times, love sleep.
Yeah.
But maybe on balance, all that extra time, not ever having to feel tired, no jet lag, all of those things. Maybe this is one that's actually a positive.
It's preferable, I think so, yeah. I think we've come up with a good idea.
So if we could just work out how to sort that out, that'd be yeah. That'd be great.
We've done the hard part. We'll leave the rest to the scientists.
We've got the idea done. Now you just work out the rest of that stuff. But there we go. I think that's going to do us for today. Hope you enjoyed listening.
Yep. If you have any thoughts on a world without sleep, you can contact us on our socials. The links are down there in the description.
But thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.